this morning because we desire to hear from you. But Lord, we want to learn of you and draw closer to you. And we know, Lord, that's your heart's desire. And so, Lord, we ask that you would speak to us through your word, that you would speak to us through your Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, come, fill this place, fill our hearts, fill our minds. Lord, we pray that you would remove any distractions that might interrupt. Lord, what you would want us to hear, give us eyes to see, ears to hear what you have for your church this morning. In Jesus' holy and precious name, amen. Please be seated. It was not uncommon for Jesus to break what the religious leaders believed to be against the law concerning the Sabbath. And so it says, verse 1, it happened. Now it happened on the second Sabbath. And what that means, nobody, everybody has their own opinion on the second Sabbath. There isn't a second Sabbath in the week. Some believe that it meant after the last Sabbath. It's kind of confusing, but it did happen on the second Sabbath after the first, that he went through the grain fields and his disciples plucked the heads of grain and ate them, rubbing them in their hands. And here we have Jesus and his disciples walking through a field, and they're walking through grain fields, obviously, as they're traveling and talking with one another. And they begin to eat these grains of the field that they are walking through. Matthew tells us that they were hungry, and so as they were walking through, they started eating these grains. And the Pharisees noticed that his disciples were eating these grains, and we are told here that Jesus was not eating, yet he was not preventing the disciples from doing so. Evidently, he was quite comfortable with his disciples doing what they were doing. Jesus knew something, and certainly we're going to see Jesus understood the Word of God, and he is the Word of God. It's interesting to note, though, that they're not alone. There is still this group of scribes and Pharisees, the religious leaders, that are walking, and not necessarily walking with them, probably not even following them. They're observing. They're trying to find something that they can get Jesus on. They want to catch him. And so it's not so much his message that they're interested in as his actions and what's going on. They have already tried to kill him. Remember at Nazareth, after he stood up and read Isaiah's prophecy, claiming to be the fulfillment of that prophecy, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." And he came and he preached Jubilee. And we're going to talk about how, you know, that it was pointing towards a new creation. Certainly, in terms of the Sabbath, a new Sabbath, so to speak. And as he closes the scroll, it says he sits down and he tells them, "Today the scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." And they were beside themselves. And as Jesus is becoming more popular, the scribes and Pharisees begin to observe Jesus more and more, to scrutinize him, and his disciples constantly questioning Jesus' teachings and trying really to trip him up, to see if they can get him to make a mistake so they can accuse him of blasphemy. And ultimately, they'll accuse him anyway. And we see the disciples taking and eating grain from the fields. They can't believe, the religious leaders can't believe what they're seeing right before their eyes. And they weren't even trying to hide it, and it didn't bother Jesus, but it was bothering them. There is something new. There's something fresh the disciples are enjoying with Jesus here. You see, Jesus is setting things to their proper order. He's really, through his life and obviously through his teaching, explaining what the scriptures always meant. And It says, some of the Pharisees, verse 2, said to them, why are you doing what is not lawful to do on the Sabbath? So what is it that the disciples were doing that caused the Pharisees to question them about the law and concerning the law? Even the Pharisees, listen, they ate on the Sabbath. It wasn't that the disciples were eating that they were questioning. One might think it was against the law to eat someone else's grain on the Sabbath. Today, you don't go walking into somebody's field and start taking things. I remember when I was a kid back in Glendora, you went into somebody's field, and there weren't a bunch of them in Southern California, but there were still some lemon groves and orange groves and avocado trees, and there were some places that we knew that if you went in there, you might get some salt rock shot towards your rear side. You just don't do that in our society today. That's theft. So in reading this, you might think that they were stealing. Well, in Deuteronomy 23, verses 24 and 25, it says, when you come into your neighbor's vineyard, you may eat your fill of grapes at your pleasure, but you shall not put any in your container. When you come into your neighbor's standing grain, you may pluck the heads with your hands, but you shall not use a sickle on your neighbor's standing grain. You see, there was provision for needs if there was hunger, but you weren't to go and start storing it up and taking out sacks and bushels so that you could take it home. It was for the immediate needs. And what they were doing was actually acceptable in Jewish culture. Provision was given in the law for this very thing. No, the Pharisees were questioning their actions because they saw it as work. In their eyes, they could cite four possible infractions. They picked the grain, and that is reaping. They rubbed the grain in their hands, that's threshing. They removed the chaff, and that is winnowing. And the ultra-legalist would say that all of this is a preparation of the food. These were the do's and don'ts experts, and they saw this, and they were nitpicking. The disciples and certainly Jesus Christ. Now, the origin of the Sabbath, let's take a look at this, is in Genesis. In Genesis chapter 2, verses 1 through 3, it says, thus the heavens and the earth and all the host of them were finished. And on the seventh day, God ended his work which he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had done. Then God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it. He set it apart as special, holy unto himself, really. And it says, because in it he rested from all his work which God had created and made. See, God's work is complete, and he was pleased with his handiwork, and he ceased. There was nothing more to be done. The Sabbath, listen, was man's full day of existence. It was on God's day of ceasing from creation that was a day for God and man to commune and have fellowship. God did not create man on the sixth day, then continue on creating, leaving man to his own devices. He created man on the sixth day, said, let us go and make man in our own image. And he created man, and then he stopped. And he stopped and he spent time with man. In fact, he didn't even make Eden until after he had had that initial communion with his creation, with mankind. And then it says, God planted Eden and then took man who he had formed and put him in the garden. But listen, the Sabbath was to be a blessing to mankind. A day set aside for his special creation that man that he created in his own image. You see, God desired relationship right from the very beginning. It's always been his desire that man would acknowledge him and have a relationship with him and learn of him. Then, about 1,000 years later, God would give to Moses the Ten Commandments. And the first four commandments were vertical in observance. They relate to man's relationship with God. The last six commandments are horizontal in observance and govern man's relationship with man. The fourth command, which we find in Exodus chapter 20, verses 8 through 11, says this: remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall do no work, you nor your son nor your daughter, nor your male servant nor your female servant, nor your cattle nor your stranger who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth. Just kind of an aside, Moses believed God created the heavens and the earth in 6 days. I believe he created the heavens and the earth in 6 days, and the sea, and all that is in them, and rested the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. And here's what happened between Moses and Jesus. Keeping the Sabbath became a work in and of itself. And instead of an observance that God had called man to, so under man's interpretation of the law, the Sabbath had become a burden instead of the blessing that God had originally intended it to be. And so God's intention was blessing, and man made it a burden. Go figure. Have you even considered the laws that we have on the books today? I mean, Oregon, they have laws concerning cow flatulence. Honestly, go read some of the laws that our legislations in different states are considering. It's bizarre. I mean, they're coming up with laws just to come up with laws today. I mean, life is becoming a burden to a great extent. Pretty soon, we'll probably have to consider the next breath we take as far as the law is concerned. It's crazy. Man's always been doing it, and he did it with God's original plan. And so they had defined work ad nauseum to the point that it stifled the people, when all God really wanted, all God really intended, were for his people to stop and rest, to cease from their activities, to cease from their work, so that they could spend time with him. He wanted man to spend time with him. That was God's intention and God's desire. And he blessed a special day for it, and he set it aside. And picture this. It's God saying, I'm setting a day aside. I want you to set a day aside. I'm going to be there, and I want you to come and spend some time with me. It's as if we're doing something special sometimes when we put some time aside for the Lord, isn't it? But God says, I'm waiting for you. I've put this aside for you. It's a special time for you, and I want to spend that time with you. And the provision and the command was for everybody to cease from working. There is peace, there is comfort, there is blessing in spending time with the Lord, Christian. Building that relationship with him. And he knows it better than anybody else. And that's why he commands it, because God knows we can get wrapped up in the busyness of life and the business of life. Consumed by work, consumed by the cares of this world, and God desires that time with you. Isn't that mind-boggling? He didn't just continue going on. He didn't create man and say, now I've done it, had enough, and now I'm going to go off and do some other things. He created man, he created this world, and he is very interested in what's going on in it, and he's very interested in you. And he did it so he could spend time with you, and that he might bless you and refresh you, bring perspective into your life, reset your moral compass, really get your heart and your mind back on the things that are really, really important, that really should be important to us, that we might know what's really important to him. There are collections of writings concerning the law. There was the law of Moses, and then there were oral law, or the traditional books of oral laws that accompanied the written law of Moses. The Talmud is a collection of these oral traditions from the Haggadah, the Midrash, the Mishnah, and the Gemara. They had a bunch. It's 22 volumes containing 523 books of the priestly traditions concerning the law, what they had called the halakha, or the way. Jesus is the way, by the way. But they had this, and they considered it the way, and it was a lot. Orthodox Jews today still observe these traditions. In 1992, an apartment complex in an Orthodox neighborhood caught on fire. And as it began to burn, the tenants conferred with the local rabbi as to whether or not a telephone call to the local fire department on the Sabbath would be a violation of Sabbath law. You see, a phone call, according to the Sabbath law, would break a constant of electrical current, which would be considered a form of work. And in the half hour it took for the rabbi to research it and get back to him, not only had it burned down the original apartment complex, it had already ignited two neighboring complexes. His answer, yes, it would violate the sabbatical law. Isn't that sad? What God had meant is a blessing, man made into a burden. What God meant for us to have freedom in, man caused to constrict mankind. And what the Pharisees observed the disciples doing are actually in violation of, now listen, the 39 creative activities of the Mishnah Shabbat found in 7:2. Reaping, gathering, threshing or extraction, and winnowing are all violations of the sabbatical law. They witnessed all four of them. It's very likely that they're looking at this. They knew what the oral traditions of the law were, and they're thinking, we could get them on this, and we can get them on this. And we can't get them on the fact that they're walking through a field and eating of the grain, because God gave provision for that. Now listen, amongst the other 39, you cannot grind, cook, bake, shear sheep, launder, comb wool. You can't do any dyeing, no tie dyeing. You past hippies and beatniks. Spinning, you can't make loops for weaving. You can't weave. You cannot separate two threads, one from another. I'm just throwing it out there because this is what they made the law into. It's bizarre. Tying. Look, slip-ons are pre-tied the day before. There was no tying of shoelaces. untying, tearing, trapping, slaughtering, you hunters, no hunting on the Sabbath, you know. If you guys think that you should live according to the Sabbath, well, I shouldn't hear any of you are missing on Sunday, you know, if you're going to live by the letter of the law. We'll talk about that in a minute. But there's no slaughtering, flaying, curing, smoothing. No, you can't sand or make anything like that. No riding or racing, no building. Extinguishing a fire is only permissible when a life is threatened, but if it's just a building that would burn to the ground, you can't lift the finger to stop it. Igniting a fire. Igniting a fire includes electrical switches because it considers the electrical current going in and causing the filament of a bulb to be an ignition of something. And it includes starting a car, only walking on the Sabbath. Applying the finishing touch is one of the laws in observance of the Sabbath. Adding hot water to instant noodle soup would be adding the finishing touch. Stapling two pieces of paper together, adding the finishing touch. Ladies, when you looked in the mirror this morning, the Sabbath violation started. Then the hair dryer, which broke an electrical current when you turned that on, continued the violation. And the application of makeup would be a violation of applying the final touch. You showed up in sin this morning. Guys, you know, we pick up the clothes out of our pile on the floor and show up. Man, we're all good, aren't we? Amen. Amen. Hey, bowlers, did you know that demolition is a violation of the Sabbath, and even a gutter ball would be a violation of Sabbath law if there was intent to knock down the pins before you threw the gutter ball? This is no joke. These are all provisions within the oral traditions that are written in these volumes that they have even brought to now. But it was that bad even back then. I mean, you couldn't lift anything that weighed more than a something of figs, and so, but you can use a spoon to eat. Now, if you wanted to lift something that was weighed more than whatever they had decided what it was, you could use the spoon on the Sabbath to lift that up, because the spoon was permitted. It was just bizarre. I mean, they choked themselves out to a great extent. And that's what they're doing. And that's the picture here, as they're following Jesus and his disciples. I mean, they want to bring this this law. They want to catch him on something. You kind of get the picture. Matthew would eventually say to them, or Jesus would eventually say to them, we're told in Matthew 23, verses 23 and 24, "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you pay tithes of mint and anise and cumin, and have neglected the weightier matters of the law, justice and mercy and faith. These you ought to have done without leaving the others undone. Blind guides who strain out a gnat and swallow a camel." In Hosea 6:6, we're told, "For I desire mercy and not sacrifice, and the knowledge of God more than burnt offerings." God desires a relationship with you more than what you have to do, more than what you have to think, more than anything you have to offer. He wants personal time with you, and he wants personal time with me. And that was God's real intention for Sabbath, to spend time with him, get to know him, to grow in the knowledge of him. It was that simple. Then Jesus poses this. "But Jesus answering them," verse 3, "said, have you not even read this?" And of course, he knew that they did. "That when what David did when he was hungry, he and those who were with him, how he went into the house of God and took and ate the showbread." That's the holy bread that was placed on the table of showbread before the Lord. It was for the priest to eat. "And also gave some to those who were with him, which is not lawful for any but the priests to eat." He knew that they had read about that. This is David. This is the hero of all of Israel. Probably the most famous character concerning Israel that there ever was. He had already been anointed by Samuel at this time as king, yet he was not yet accepted nor received by the people or the current leadership. A lot like Jesus at this time as he faces the Pharisees, isn't it? The anointed one speaking to those who neither accepted him nor received from him what he was trying to say to them. They did not recognize that he was the one he claimed to be. We don't know if some of these guys, they certainly heard probably about his proclamation as he read Isaiah and said, "You've seen this fulfilled in your presence." But it's almost an ironic thing that he's proposing to him. You see, David was chosen and anointed by God, yet he was running from Saul, and he goes to Ahimelech the priest in Nob, and he asks for bread for him and for his some of his men. And Ahimelech said, there's only five left. We don't have any common loaves here, but, and then he goes through, as long as you guys haven't been with, you know, your wives or anything like that for the last couple of days, and there are all kinds of things according to law for that. He said, look, there are still five loaves left of the showbread. He said, look, we've been on the run for 3 days. We're clean concerning that. And so it says that Ahimelech, recognizing really that it was time, it was on the Sabbath that he was there, it was time to bring in some fresh loaves, because on every Sabbath, the 12 loaves of bread, if they weren't completed, were replaced. And then those were for that week. Gave him the five loaves, and he took it, and he fed his five. And so he took the showbread and fed his men. And Jesus here says, it was not lawful. That's really what he's saying. You know, he knew that they knew the story. He was, you know, and he says, look, it was not lawful, as far as you're all concerned, for David to do that, to eat that bread. Yet it was permitted so new bread could be brought out and replace that which would be replaced on the Sabbath. According to law, it was only for the priests, but no Jew would ever condemn David of breaking the law. He was God's anointed and the great king of Israel, yet that is who the Pharisees were questioning at that very moment, God's anointed one, Messiah, the King of Kings, and they didn't even know it. It was a practical lesson for him and really kind of a neat lesson for us. What does he say in verse 5? And he said to them, the Son of Man is also the Lord of the Sabbath. You're talking to the one who Sabbathed, so to speak. On the seventh day, I rested. I instituted the Sabbath. In fact, Jesus is the Sabbath. The Son of Man is also the Lord of the Sabbath. In Matthew 11, verses 28 through 30, he says, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Sabbath in me. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. Isn't that what we heard from the Lord at the very beginning? I'm going to set apart a day that you can rest and come and learn of me. For I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And remember, I mean, the very law, the very command that he gives concerning this was, give me a second to turn to it. Do you have the Exodus chapter? Oh, here we go. Remember the Sabbath, keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall do no work, you, nor your sons, nor your daughter, nor your manservant, your maidservant, your cattle, nor your stranger who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens, the earth, the sea, and all that is in them, and rested the seventh. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath and hallowed it. And Jesus said, look, come and find rest in me. He is the Sabbath. So, Pastor, you're wondering, there's a lot of debate in the church today. Keep the Sabbath, don't keep the Sabbath. Was the Sabbath only for the Jewish people? Was that a covenant for them, or is it also for us? Or does it apply to the church? Is it Saturday or is it Sunday? Who's right? Who's wrong? Well, the answer is no concerning the Sabbath. And yes. Is that confusing? Let's take a look at them. Let's define the Sabbath as the children of Israel understood it. You've got those little handouts. It's kind of so you can kind of make a comparison. And the Sabbath was sundown Friday to sundown Saturday, still is in Jewish tradition. The day begins at sundown and ends at sundown. That is the Sabbath day. Secondly, the Sabbath is the seventh day, according to Jewish tradition. It is the end of the week, a time to rest from work, and it relates to the law. It is a day to rest from work. Thirdly, the Sabbath is an observance of God's finished work of creation and looked back upon that finished work as the commandment was given to them to observe it. And it looked forward to the coming of Messiah. Fourthly, the rabbis taught that Messiah could not come until Israel could keep the law of the Sabbath completely. According to their own rabbis, Messiah could never have come because it was impossible to keep the law completely. The church does not observe Sabbath by the letter of the law, but we do observe a form of Sabbath according to God's heart of grace. So the answer is no, and the answer is yes, because we observe God's heart in the matter, not the letter of the law according to man. Our days, listen, we observe the Lord's Day. And if you want to say that's our set, whatever. I'm not going to get into semantics with you. Our days, listen, the first thing we need to understand, begin and end at midnight according to our clock. But more practically, we would observe the beginning of a day at sunrise. A new day is considered when the sun rises. And some of us, see the sunrise, and some of us get up long after the sun rises. But when the sun rises, the idea that really constitutes that new day as the sun rises. Secondly, the Lord's Day is at the beginning of the week. It is a preparation for work, and as the Sabbath is a rest from work and relates to the law, the Lord's Day is rest in preparation for work and relates to grace. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, not of yourselves. It is the gift of God." Thirdly, the Lord's Day is our observance of Christ's finished work on the cross and a new creation. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new." And then in Galatians 6:15, "For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything, but a new creation." All of those things have passed away. The Sabbath observance. For that was looking back to the original creation. But for those of the church, for us, there is a bonus to the Lord's Day. The Lord's Day commemorates the birth of the church, that through Christ's resurrection of the dead and the gift of the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, the church was born. And so we observe a day in response to God's heart. We do not observe it in response to the letter of the law as they do. A day that God desires to meet with you, to meet with us. A day where we might learn of Him. A day we put aside to respond to His call to relationship, to respond to His call to learn of Him and to grow in the knowledge of Him and to hear from Him and to understand His will. That is what this day is. Listen, the Sabbath or Lord's Day, whatever you think you should call it, is a day that you should not be burdened. It's a day that you should be blessed, because that's what God desires you to be. Because it has nothing to do with the day. Paul says, some observe a day, some observe a day as special, some observe every day the same. Paul basically saying it has nothing to do with the day as much as it has to do with the heart. And I hope you're here this morning to be blessed by the Lord. Because here's the kicker. If that's your heart this morning, it blesses Him. Did you know you could bless the Lord? Crazy. That you want to build a relationship with Him pleases Him beyond anything. "Well, I don't have to go to church to have a relationship with God." You ever heard that? You ever thought it? Nope, you don't. But God asks you to not forsake the gathering together of the saints, and that is Sunday, the Lord's Day, the Sabbath of grace. Listen, it's really not the first day of the week. You know what day it is? It's the eighth day of the week, because it's a new beginning. Every time we come and we're washed and we're refreshed by the washing of the water of the Word and His presence, and we spend time growing in the knowledge of Him. And that's what He desires for His children and for the church. So you can get hung up on whether it's the Sabbath or not the Sabbath, whether or not the, what are the, not Jehovah's Witnesses, but they do Saturday too. They're a mess anyways, but, there are some of them that believe that observe Saturday, and if you don't observe Saturday, then you're in error, and no. You observe what God desires, and that is that we put aside a day, a time, where we desire to be blessed and to bless Him and to hear from Him. That's what He wants. And so that's what we do, is we open the Word of God to hear from Him. And then, man, I'll tell you what, I'm going to ask the ladies to play two songs at the end. Any of you have a problem with that? Because that was amazing, wasn't it? Because He desires to hear our heart. Heavenly Father, Lord, bless this day. We pray that, Lord, even if we came with, maybe with a wrong attitude or a wrong heart, that, Lord, You changed it, and we pray that You are blessed. We desire to hear from You. I pray that Your Word would continue to wash, would continue to challenge, would continue to refresh. And now, Lord, as You change our hearts, as You change our minds, I pray that You would change our perspective. And if we missed out on that time at the beginning, I pray that we would not miss out now an opportunity to praise You with the fruit of our lips. And I pray that You would draw us right up into Your very presence, because this is a time that You have set aside that we might come and find rest in You. And I pray this on behalf of my brothers and sisters. I pray that You would fulfill it completely, Lord, because it's Your heart's desire. In Jesus' holy and precious name, amen. Would you stand?